And there's so much to learn, both on paper and in person. And so thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Everyone have a coffee? Thank you. I will tell you just briefly about TI after, in the time that's left. I brought a few brochures. For those of you that want to share your thoughts, want inquiries, want to find out about scholarships, blah, 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 you can always write to me. Believe it or not, I do answer my own emails, and I answer all of them. Okay? So if you wish to, you can reach me that way. I speak here annually, and I speak about different Mizmorei. This is one that I'm working on right now. I've been working on it actually for a couple of years. A, because in case there's any Shana betters left over, or some of the faculty that they don't get bored. And B, perhaps to give you an insight in a way one can learn a Perek Tehillim. When I learn a Perek Tehillim, I'm mindful of the fact that it is Shira. And Shira in the Tanakh needs to be written in form. You know that from Shirat Hayam, right? A Sefer Torah is possible unless you write Ashira LaHashem Kiga'o. Louder? Louder? Okay. Ashira LaHashem Kiga'o Ga'a Sus Verochvo Rama Bayam, right? It has to be written how? What shape? Ladies, come on. Just last week. Didn't learn it? Or are you being shy? It has to be written in brickwork. Whereas Shirat Ha'azinu is written as columns. And in a shul where they read the Haftarah out of a Megillah, Shirat Chana, Shirat Dvorah are written in form. Okay? We know that. Anybody here of Sephardi origin? What are you ashamed of? Do you daven out of a Sephardi siddur? What do you do before Baruch She'amar? What do you have there in your siddur? The secrets that the Chida found out. You remember there's a picture of what? A menorah. And inside the menorah actually is Lamnatzeach, a Mizmor Tehillim. There are Mizmorei Tehillim written in shapes. And we know that is authentic. Guess what I saw last year when I was here? I went up to Mitzadah. And it, did you go to Mitzadah yet? Hello? You sort of did?
We had a representative.
What happened? In the shul up in Mitzadah, they found buried just recently an entire Tanakh. Manuscript. There is no printing press. And in it, they found one page, it's on parchment, one page of Mizmor Tehillim, and guess how it's written? In form. I don't remember which one it is. I believe it was Kuf Yud Bet. The edges are eaten away. The rest of it is there. Every word is there, written in form. In a dig, archaeological dig, in Dura Surya, you can't see it anymore, about the turn of the century, they found the vestiges of an old synagogue from Bayit Sheni period. Actually, it was about 500 AD. They found some mosaics, and they found Mizmor Yutet, written in a shape. So this is authentic, okay? But I don't know what shape this was originally with. So the rest of it, we're going to do a little bit of speculation. I'm going to show you what this is about. What I do is I look for the Tamei HaMikra. Do you learn Tamei HaMikra?
No.
No? Okay. When I look at a Mizmor Tehillim, particularly if it says the word Mizmor, or Shir Mizmor, or just Shir, that this was originally written to be sung, and according to the Ram Aradak, if it says Mizmor, it was meant to be played by musicians on instruments. One of our great national tragedies, of course, is that we lost the nigunim. We lost the melodies. We lost them after Churban Bayit Rishon. when we went, we're taken to Babel, where we made a grassroots decision. This was not the Sanhedrin's psak. We made a grassroots decision to stop singing. You know that. Al Naharot Babel, Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu, and when our captors told us, Shiru Lanu Mishir Zion, we said, Ech Nashir et Shir Hashem Al Admat Nechar. And all it took is one generation not to sing the Nigun, or the Nigunim. And it was lost. Anybody play a musical instrument here? Anybody read notes while they're playing musical instruments? You know when notes were invented? Late 18th century. There was no such thing as notes. We have music that's older than that, only because it was sung from generation to generation to generation. It's known as either folk music or church music. And if they sang it and kept on singing it to generation after generation, but if it had one generation wiped out, there was nothing left of it. So we don't have that. Did you know that Shakespeare didn't have punctuation? Didn't know a question mark from a period. Had no such thing. How do people know how to read it? Shakespeare not only wrote the plays, he acted in them and he directed them, and he told his actors how he wants them to read the lines. They told the next generation how to read the lines. They know the next generation until somebody invented punctuation. And then they went and put that in. But we Jews have the oldest form of punctuation and musical notation, which does not convey the melody, but does give us the cadences, tells us when to raise our voices, when to drop them, and it's called Pameha Mikra. Now you all know about what this little thing is, right? And Natnachta, and you know a Zakaf, right? You know that. There's three Sfarim, however, that have unique Tamei Mikra. They're called Sifrei Emet. You can learn more about it in Musad Rav Kook's thing. They'll actually show you what that is. That's Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim. And there you'll see sometimes these things that are big fat dots, or an upside down segol. And they tell you to either stretch the word or to emphasize it. Now, I want to explain to you how critical this is. The Torah writes, Lo tirtzach, how should I read it? If I don't have te'amim, I could pervert the entire meaning. That's why it's called tam, just like you look for ta'amei ha-mitzvot. Tam, tuf, tam, vedat, lamdeini. It's the rationale, it's the meaning. And meaning is conveyed not merely by looking through a dictionary each word, but by the intonation, by the gestures. You understand? That's the way meaning is conveyed. Lo tirtzach can be read as follows. Lo tirtzach? What did I just do with the meaning of it? I perverted it. Lo tirtzach becomes a rhetorical question, and the answer is, but of course you will. How to read it, whether it's a question or not, sometimes Rashi will tell you, bitmiha. What he's telling you is, because he didn't have it, is to put this. But certainly it doesn't belong there. I can turn something into a question without using a question word, in English or in Ivrit. Right, I have Heyashela, but I can do it without it. Heavy work schedule. Or heavy work schedule. Heavy work schedule. See that? How do I turn it into a question? I raise my voice at the end of the sentence. If I raise it very high, it becomes exaggerated, either as an exclamation point or as a rhetorical question. You understand? By the way, that's true whether you're speaking Swahili, Korean, English, any language. It's universal. That's when you can tell when somebody's asking a question, even if you don't understand the language that they're asking. So I'm very mindful of that when I do this. What I did was, following the etnachtot, wherever there was an etnachta, I hit the tab twice. On the very first line, there is a bubum pasuk bet. namely that the second line should come underneath it, because this is called a pasuk mishulash. It's got three divisions. It's supposed to be read like this. You understand? And what you see the comma after Adonenu? That's because I was supposed to do something with that word. It was supposed to be stretched out. That's what you're supposed to do with it. Now, the very first pasuk is not part of the poem. That was usually put in by Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who redacted the Tanakh in the first century. And what they did was they tell me who the author is, who in this case is David. They tell me something about what it was designed for. Hadak says that he's speculating that Gittit is a musical instrument. And in a sense, according to the Hadak, what's written here is something like concerto for the piano, a song by David. But this is just called a ktovit. It is not the original. The actual poem begins in Pasuk Bet and goes through Pasuk Yud and does something fantastic, and that is that the first line and the last line are identical. Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha Bechol Haaretz. And it ends with Hashem Adonenu Ma Adir Shimcha Bechol Haaretz, with one change. The first verse has an extra line, Asher Tna Hotcha Al Hashamayim, and the other one does not. Hence, the first one represents heaven and earth, and the second one is just plain earth. If you look carefully, there's a predominant sound, and you have to pay attention to that. It starts with Hashem Hashem, and except for Kohen Gadol, the Yom Kippur, once a year, who read out Shem HaMeforesh, how do we pronounce Yudkei Vavkei? Aleph Daled, right? Unless the Nikudot are different, and then we pronounce it Elohim. So this is already Aleph Daled. The next word is Adonenu. And the next major word is Adir, which in modern English, the closest word that I can come up with is awesome. Hashem Adonenu. How awesome is your name throughout the land, as you have put your hod. Did you notice the similarity in sound? Al Hashamayim. Malbim explains that there's a difference between hod and hadar, which we will soon see. One of them is internal beauty that radiates out on the face. You know how you can tell somebody, you say, well, maybe she's not that beautiful, but she's such a beautiful person, coming through the facial gestures or the behavior, sort of like radiating outside. And hadar is external beauty. What is happening in this mizmor is going to become apparent from Pasuk Dalet. I'm skipping Gimel. Maybe I'll get to it. David HaMelech is lying on a knoll of grass. His sheep are all around him. He's looking upwards. Ki ereh shamecha, when I see your heavens. Ma'aseh etzbeotecha, the work of your fingers. Yareach v'kochavim asher konanta. What's the time of day? Night. Have you ever been out to a place which wasn't settled like the desert and seen the sky and the multitude of stars that are visible when there is no light pollution? Have you ever felt how the sky becomes so close that you almost feel like if you just reach your hand up, you can touch the stars? So he's laying there looking at it all. And what does he see? When I see your heavens, ma'aseh etzbeotecha, the work of your fingers. I always ask my students, are my fingers moving? Ladies, are my fingers moving?
Yeah.
We agree?
Mm-hmm.
I know you think it's a trick question. You're trying to figure out where's the trick. In fact, it's an illusion. My fingers are not moving. My fingers can't move. I am moving my fingers. Oh, this is not just semantics. You see, you can't see I, and I can't see you. You can see what I'm wearing. You can hear me talking. Check out my shaitl. Like it. You don't like it. You can do all kinds of things. But you can never know I. Where's I? Here? Here? Every cell of my being? The Ibn Ezra explains that every I is a microcosm for the big I, the Anochi. And like this microcosm, I know that even if Chas v'Shalom I should become paralyzed or mute, I would still be I. Even if this I is not capable anymore of moving the finger. You understand? But I also know that I don't end at the edge of my skin. Have you ever walked down the street and felt that somebody was watching you? And somebody was, wasn't it? Do you have eyes back here? I can perceive more than what the eyes see, what the ears see. I is an aura around you. You transcend your body. Now, most of the time, I know you're beginning to think like, da, 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 right? This lady is off the wall. You do. For those of us who've been through several surgeries, there are occasions in which we wake up and we have full memory of what was done to us, and we saw it. It's an out-of-body experience. It's been recorded again and again and again, where they can describe exactly what happened. Literally, you leave your body and you can see it, you come back. We transcend. And from this model, remember Descartes? He said, I think, therefore I am. From me, I can surmise the universe. So what did David HaMelech said? He said, I see your heavens. And I see it as the work of your fingers. But I know that the fingers don't move on their own. So I project from myself and can determine that there is an eye that's making those stars fall, that makes the earth turn around its axis, that created it all. I call you by your name, though I cannot see you. You understand? That's what he sees. And as he sees it, what is his response? Did you notice the Pasuk Dara? There's a conditional statement. When I see your heavens, the work, the Yareach, right? Then, and instead of a then, there is this intake of breath. Now, some of the Pashtanim say that those two halves are called a parallelism, are saying the same thing in different words. Instead of enosh, I have the word ben adam. Instead of tiskerenu, I have the word tifkedenu. And that's the way Mitzudot treats it, sometimes Ibn Ezra, and they answer it by saying it's done for emphasis, or it's done for tiferet halashon, for the beauty of language. And the Malbim says, absolutely not, and that when we learn Tehillim, we should treat it the same way that when we learn Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Do you know that there's Chamesha Svarim of Tehillim, right? Parallel to Chamisha Chumshe Torah. That every word needs to be accounted for. So what's the difference between Enosh and Ben Adam? The first one created Maasei Adav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu was none other than Adam. Adam has the next generation born of a man and a woman, and they are Cain, Hevel. Cain kills Hevel. Cain is banished. And who's left? They have another child named. You'll soon hear of him in this pasuk. Shet has children, and his first child is called Enosh. Machala Anusha is a fatal terminal disease. Enosh means mortal. And mortal comes from the word morte, which means death. Ma Enosh kitis kerenu.
So with the two lines there, David HaMelech, as he looks up at the heaven, feels puny compared to what he sees. He feels insignificant. What am I, mere mortal, that is like Aleni Daf, like a fleeting leaf, like a dream of yesterday, a moment here and a moment gone, that God would even think of me. And to think that Pirkei Avos is telling me, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, and that's the way I'm supposed to approach it. But Ben Adam is different. Ben Adam is from the first generation that did not yet know death. Until, right, they didn't. Cain, the reason Cain is not killed is because, and was banished instead, Na Venad, is because Cain had no idea that when he would beat up his brother, what would happen. Because nobody ever experienced it before. Uben Adam ki tifkedenu, but as the son of Adam, we were given, and it's different, lifkot, v'Hashem pakad et Sarah. He gave her a tafkid. He appointed her. Mefaked is a officer. Lifkod is to hold somebody accountable and responsible. And suddenly, from being puny, he feels like what? See what it says here. Tachsirehu me'at me'elokim. You made him just a little bit less than God or the angels. How so? We're not all powerful, never mind the fact that we are mortal. But there's something remarkable. You can be sitting right here, and God-like, you can transcend who you are and smile at me nicely and pretend like you're listening and take your head off to the Bahamas and lay on a beach somewhere, can't you? You can dream great dreams and build things that never existed. I presume you all have cell phones, right? And most of you have iPhones, and you know about Skyping, right? Or Face. Yeah. My grandfather would never have dreamed of it. Who would have thunk? And when we see a problem, the human reaction is, how can we fix it? We can have dreams of things that never were and build them. We are creators. We are healers. And there's a reason for that. Asher bara Elokim la'asot. God did not give us or plant us into a perfect world that was finished. He said, Chevra, you're going to become my partners. Guess what you get to do? Finish the job. Tachsireu me'at me'elokim. You made him just a little bit less than God. But what did you give him so that he could do the job? Chavod v'hadar te'atrehu. You crowned him, an atara, with kavod and hadar. I already told you that hadar means external beauty. David HaMelech believed that human beings were gorgeous. But they were given something much more important, and that is kavod. Okay, so how do we translate kavod? Come on, ladies, how do you normally translate kavod?
Honor.
Honor. Give me a synonym for honor so that we can understand if you understand the word honor.
Respect.
Good. That's the way most Americans think of the word honor. They think of something that you're given to somebody else, given to you by somebody else. So there's an honoree at the dinner. People run after kavod, which means that they run for esteem and respect from other people. Rashi already explains it in Sefer Bereshit and reiterates this in Devarim, that kavod does not mean that. Coming from the Shoresh kaved, kavod is your mahut. And that's why the Brits can say, I give you my word of honor. He's a man of honor. So your kavod is the soul that was given to you, the chelek eloka mimal. And in English we would say the substance. So when I say a woman of substance,
I don't mean how heavy she is. I mean that she's got a real mission, a real purpose, real intelligence, and a reason for being. God gave it to us. Tamshileu b'maaseh yadecha, you made him ruler over all the works of your hands. Kol shata tachat raglav. Remember the name Shet? Now, have you ever seen the picture in Kabbalistic writings of a man with his legs akimbo and his arms stretched out and a crown on his head and the 10 sefirot? No? From feeling puny, he suddenly feels Lord and Master of this world. What does he get to rule? Sone ve'alafim kulam, those are domesticated animals, the sheep and the rams that are all around him. Vegam bahamot sadai, and even the animals of the field, the undomesticated wild animals, those tigers and wolves and bears that want to get his sheep. They're afraid of man. He builds a fire. He learns from them and hunts them. He controls them. But he doesn't just control them and have dominion over them. He learns from them. Ratz kitzvi, gibor ke'aryeh. Right? Sipor shamayim udgei hayam, the bird of the heavens and the fishes of the sea. I did that deliberately, even though fish is actually both singular and Over orchot yamim, that crosses the pathways of the seas. Who crosses the pathways of the seas? Who is the subject of this predicate? Ladies, look inside. It can't be dgei hayam, because dgei hayam means plural, dagim shel hayam. And over is singular. Can it be tzipor shamayim? Tzipor is feminine. Tzipor overet orchot yamim. It's not bahamot sadai. It's not sone ve'alafim. Who crosses the seas? Ben Adam. While he was created as a land-based man, creature, when he came to the seas, he learned from the fish. What did he do when he wanted to cross over? He built ships. When he looked at the birds of the heavens, what did he build? Airplanes. We don't have wings, but we figured it out. We took our limitations and overcame them. Hashem Adonenu, Ma Adir Shimcha B'chol Ha'aretz. This poem represents a heuristic. Fancy word if you didn't take the SAT yet, but it's good for the GREs too. A heuristic is a pictorial model used to demonstrate or explain something, such as the double helix, such as the atom. The heuristic of this poem is as follows. When I look at your heavens, I see all of it and I can't understand why all of this is focused on little old me, that even God would remember it. But then I remember that I was created to be a ruler here, but not just any ruler. Ruler that would take all existence and focus it on whom? Remember the other predominant sound? Shem, Shimcha. And that's the meaning of the Magen David. Parshat Yitro, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai. And we're told there, Vayered Hashem be'anan, Vayityatsev imo sham. The infinite,
all-powerful God that's everywhere, ki'ilu hitztamtzem, as if he limited himself, and did what? Come down to meet Moshe Rabbeinu and stood with him there. This is the place where Chazal say, Shamaim va'aretz nashaku, earth and heaven kissed. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was then to take the Shechina and what he brought him and bring it down. And when he gave man the Torah, he gave us the Torah, we were supposed to now take earthiness and bring it up by doing what we normally do, by doing our jobs, by even eating, by even our animalistic activities, and doing it l'shem shamayim. So we lift the earth towards the heavens. And that's what this represents. And that's what it means to be a Jew. So I skipped Pasuk Gimel. The moderns say it was an accident. It doesn't belong here. Messes up this whole poem. I don't think Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made that mistake. You see, as he's laying on the knoll of grass, in the darkness and the silence of the night, only one thing breaks that quiet. Mipi olelim v'yonkim, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. The little lambs cry out for their mamas. They're hungry. What sound do little lambs make? Ma. Little babies cry out in the middle of the night. They want to be fed, or they're wet. And what sound do they make? Ma. Almost all languages that I'm familiar with include the mem in the word for mother. Ama, mama, mother, ima, madre, all of them. Ma. And that ma repeats itself here a few times. What is this sound that is, he says, from that sound that comes out of babies and sucklings, be they animal or human, I see God's strength. Not merely in that they're yearning for their mama, but that their mama responds. Even against her will, baby starts crying, and your milk lets down. And you have no choice but to go and nurse the baby. The little ewes get up and go to their lambs and feed them. From that, he says, I have enough to fight my enemies, tzorerecha, lehashbit oyev umitnakem, all of the deniers. And I'll explain what I mean. Why did God make us? Why did he bother if he knew the future? We're such an ornery, rebellious, nudnikim, and so often a failure. Why do women want to have children so that they'll take care of them in their old age? Take what it costs to raise a child, put it in the bank at zero interest, you'll come out ahead if you're worried about your old age. Why? Because we were created in the image of God, and like God, we have a deep motivation not merely to get, but much more importantly, to give. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTov V'HaMeitiv L'Ra'im V'LaTovim. The Ribbono Shel Olam searched for a creature that would love him, but more importantly, that he could love. And we sometimes think that we want to be loved, but believe it or not, a much more higher
need, far beyond that, is to find someone to love unconditionally. If you've ever seen a mother with a special needs child that takes up so much of her resources, you'll understand what it means to have unconditional love. If you've ever read of someone who gave their last piece of bread to someone they care about, even though they're going to die of hunger, you'll understand that we are not merely Homo sapiens. We were created in the image of God. And in the image of God is that oz. That oz is the need to give. That's what makes us B'tzelem Elokim. That comes from the part called Chelek Eloka Nima. That's what it means to be a Jew. Thank you. Any questions or comments?